Dear Shooter, you looking for a great gift? That can be quite the challenge, especially with today's prices. Oh my God. So when it comes to guns and gear, where do you splurge and spend the big bucks? And where can you just go good enough? But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip
weird.
On, it's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Yes, things are expensive. Brandy wants to say something, but I think I don't know.
It's not about that. It's a squeaky toy in the background.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Sometimes you got to do it live. Oh, my God. Your peanut gallery is in full force today.
Your dog is funny.
So, the question becomes, like, we've all got kind of limited budget. We're trying to do these things, and we're trying to be prepared, and we're trying to do whatever, whatever. Where do you really spend the money? And where can you get by that's kind of good enough? And how do you determine that?
Everything has a function, right? Form follows function. It's a universal rule.
Right.
It's got to work first.
Right.
And it's got to be reliable through everything you put it through on your daily regimen.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to use it well.
Right.
Deploy it on time.
So, all right. So, let's start there. Your everyday carry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, for example, my everyday carry, I've got handgun, spare magazine. I have my folding knife, my flashlight, and my med kit.
Mm-hmm.
That's my everyday carry. All of those items, I've kind of put some money into. Because they have to be reliable day in, day out, every day.
They do. They have to fit the way you dress.
Mm-hmm.
They have to fit the way you live.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to last.
Right.
Right? So all of those things have got to be solid enough gear to where they're not going to break or wear out in the first time you take them out.
Right.
However.
Uh-oh. Here it comes.
Louis Vuitton and Gucci stuff need not apply.
No. Not.
I don't even think we're talking that far.
But
I mean,
people will go right there, right?
They will.
You know, what you need is a pistol. Let's say.
Well, yeah. Let's start there.
What you need is a pistol. A Glock pistol will go bang every time you pull it out of the holster, and it'll go to work.
Mm-hmm.
They shoot and they function flawlessly. They're fantastic that way.
Right.
You start dressing them up, make them a Gucci Glock. Sometimes they start to function less. And they no longer fit your everyday carry. And there's lots of reasons why they are a range queen or a competition master, but they're not your everyday carry. And there's a difference.
There is. And, you know, you talk about functionality. And yeah, the Gucci Glock that comes out of their little custom shop, you know, it's going to carry twice the price tag. And performance-wise, the gun itself may perform 10, 15% better than your stock Glock. Number one, are you a good enough shooter to notice that 10% better? And number two, are you better off just getting the stock Glock and spending the other $600 on ammo?
Ammo and training.
Right.
I'm not going to just pigeonhole you straight into ammo, right?
Well, no, but...
Because once we get past your firearm composition of your carry, because we have to address the holster, which is a major component of your everyday.
Yes.
It's got to be comfortable, and it's got to not wear out.
Right.
You're going to have to move then to your flashlight and your knife. You got to know how to use those. Those are tools that require a little bit of understanding. They're mm-hmm. not just throw in your pocket with a battery.
Well, here's my thought. Get the standard Glock because pocketbook, it helps the pocketbook. You can always dress it up later. It's Barbies for men. They sell the shit.
I totally agree with you. Now, let's move on to the holster. And it I don't care what you carry, right? That is one of those things that is such a personal preference deal. You know, I have mine that I like, and I have mine that I recommend depending on the shooter, because of fit, because of function, because of performance, whatever. But I will tell you, I have spent more time agonizing over a damn concealment holster than I ever have over a gun.
Because it's probably more important than the gun that goes in it.
I think it is.
I think that's one thing you just don't purchase as a gift.
No.
Well, no, and then let's look at it in another way. The tires that go in my truck, right? They are not standard dealership tires. I don't live in a place where I'm always on pavement. I need tread. I need 10-ply. I mean, there's things I need that my tires have to perform. Now, they're not the truck, right? But they're what carries the truck down the road. And right. Without them, you don't move the truck. So, in that analogy, back to the pistol and the holster thing, the holster is secondary to the pistol in most people's minds. And it shouldn't be. Because you got to carry the pistol.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean... You gotta find a gun that works for you.
So gotta find a holster that works for you.
Right. But and like I said, I've spent more time agonizing over a holster that fit and that I could wear and that was comfortable all day long than I ever have over a firearm.
And I love how you make my point for me every time. I lead you right into it and he just makes it for me.
You know, I've tried them. I've tried the holster with the magazine combo. I threw that out the window.
Well, it's convenient, but it rarely fits right.
Well, it's not so much that it doesn't fit right, because I have found them that fit right and they're comfortable. But the way I carry appendix, it carries, you know, the whole rig carries pretty much across the front of my body. Mm-hmm. That makes it really kind of difficult when nature calls.
Ah.
So sure. I split the holster and the magazine carrier. That way I have space in the middle to do business.
Well, that's why I stopped carrying a 1911, because it pulled my pants down.
Well,
so
that's
now because our topic was gift giving. Well, and what I'm getting from this is the pistol has to fit the person, right?
Yes.
So you're not going to want to buy that pistol unless they already know it fits in a holster's. Depends on what they're doing with it. So again,
well, it's not even necessarily gift giving, because a lot of this stuff is highly personal.
Yeah,
but there's places where you don't have to spend a ton of money. Now I will say, a good holster, that's probably where you're going to spend money. Most of my good decent holsters that I like the most, they're in that $70 to $100 category.
And for an accessory that doesn't do anything other than carry the gun,
mm-hmm.
that's in the upper end of the cost spectrum.
I agree, but you start getting, you know, you start looking at some of these less expensive holsters, and they don't fit. They don't work.
You get below that $50 mark, and they try to make them too universal.
Right.
And I think that's probably the number one failing of a good holster, is it's trying to accommodate too many things. A good holster, one you're going to pay for, is going to be specific to you and how you carry,
mm-hmm.
to the gun and the manner in which you carry.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if you're on the open carry side of things, law enforcement, military, that kind of thing, you need a retention with a hood. mm-hmm. so somebody can't take it away from you.
Right.
Because right? you made yourself a target. Open carry, we've talked about that 9 million times.
Right.
Conceal carry. Retention plays, but it's more about concealment. It doesn't want to print. Nobody needs to know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not comfortable, you won't wear it.
Right. And that's the key. And that's, like I said, that's why I spend more time agonizing over a holster. Because it's got to be. Because otherwise, you're exactly right. You won't wear it. You won't have it when you need it.
Right. Now, a lot of folks will take their bougie Glocks and their bougie pistols to the range, and that's what they like to shoot. You need to shoot your concealed carry gun.
Agreed.
Matter of fact, I would go as far as to say you should select a concealed carry gun you like to shoot.
Agreed.
Because that's the one you need to train with.
Right.
And your range queen, I mean, that's fun, and they shoot great. But if you're not carrying it every day, that's not the one you train with.
I see it all the time.
Unless, of course, you're a competition shooter, and that's a whole different discussion.
Right. Because
they're going to train with their competition gun, but
right.
their rig is specific set up for fast acquisition, and it is specific to their gun.
And if you look at a lot of competition shooters, typically their EDC, well, their competition is a Gucci version of their EDC.
Correct.
So, the controls are the same. Everything pretty much runs the same. It's just, you know, one's really spicy.
A little bit longer profile. It's got a compensated barrel at some point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mag flare. I mean, there are things you do that you would never carry.
Right.
Or choose to, because they're going to print.
Right.
So, take it out of the firearms realm.
Medical.
Pocket knife.
Pocket knife. Okay, we'll go there.
Go simple first.
So, I have been carrying the same folder for, God, probably a decade.
Why do you carry that one?
So, I originally saw it, and I liked the design of it. It's a zero tolerance, and I could not even tell you the model. It's got the Emerson Wave on it. What that allows me to do is, as I pull the knife out of my pocket, that wave hooks on my clothes and opens the knife for me. So as it's coming out of my pocket, it's opening.
Interesting.
I think it makes it, it's very handy for when you need to do some kind of a surreptitious draw where you don't really want anybody to notice what you're doing. You're not fumbling to get that blade open. And it's fast. I mean, it's when the knife comes out of my pocket, it's open and it's ready to go.
Interesting. So in the process of that opening, there's no risk of cutting yourself or clothing as it comes out?
No. I mean,
I've seen assisted openers that can cause you a problem if they open in your pocket.
Yeah, see, it's not assisted. There's no spring. There's no kind of mechanical assistance, I mean, other than your actual draw.
So you have an intentional snag?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
And like I said, I've carried it for years. I've probably pulled it out of my pocket 3 times a day for the last decade.
What else drove the decision?
Honestly, the size of it. It's a little bit bigger than what most people might carry for a pocket knife, but I got it more as a fighting tool. But it has proven, like, just everyday bomb-proof.
How thick's the blade?
It's fairly thick. I mean, I've used it to split kindling and do some pretty hardcore tasks with it. Holds an edge rather well.
Fairly thin. Can you put your hand in your pocket and dig out coins?
Yes.
Okay. That's a thing I look for. Because if I can't put my hand in my pocket and dig out coins, it's not my carry.
Well, I have boy pockets.
Well,
so.
I do too. But I got, you know, fat, stubby little fingers too. So I've got to have a balance there. Because I don't want to pull my pocket knife out to find change to buy a soda. I don't want to do that.
Oh, come on.
No.
Sometimes you got to threaten the soda machine.
Sometimes you end up in jail because you threatened the soda machine and somebody was watching. But then, okay. So for me, a pocket knife, it has all-weather material. So it's a stainless type of
yep.
material. I use G10 scales because they're next to impervious to about anything you throw at them. I like an assisted open, but not an intentional snag. I always feel like I would fumble that and hurt myself. I'm accident prone. I like a high riding clip so it sticks down inside my pocket. That's something that I think a lot of knife manufacturers miss.
Well, okay, so you have your criteria.
Mm-hmm.
What are you willing to spend on that?
$200.
Okay.
Because I'm going to carry it every day.
Right.
I'm going to use it every day. It's a tool that's in my pocket no matter what. If I don't have it, I am naked.
Right. I totally agree. And I think I actually spent a little bit more on mine. But again, I've had it for a decade. And, you know, the snag opening, it's one of those things. I use the thing on a daily basis. And just the unintentional reps of using it, it's just second nature.
Again, it's a training issue. I require a very sturdy axle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any wiggle in my blade
right
when it's out. I prefer a serviceable
yep knife
where I can clean it.
Because
mm-hmm. I have been known to use it for cleaning a deer from time to time.
Yep.
And that stuff, you got to get up out of it.
Yep.
So all of these things, there's, you know, it shortens the criteria. You go look at a knife counter, and there's not too many options that fit that bill.
No. There's a lot that try.
They're fashion, though.
Mm-hmm.
They try poorly.
Yep.
Right? And then the steel, to me, makes a difference. I don't want something S30V that's super hard you can't keep an edge on, and once you do lose the edge, you can't put one back on it.
Right.
And I don't want something as soft as 440. Even though it is a stainless material, you're going to use it twice, and you're going to need to sharpen it.
Right.
Right? I like D2 or 1021, something in the tool steel category where I can use it a couple hundred times before I have to dress the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that reliability of my knife's relatively sharp. Right? If I pull it out and I can't cut tape on a cardboard box, it's time.
So this is an odd. This is odd. So we're saying don't go crazy on your firearm. You're probably going to have to spend some money to get a good holster.
Mm-hmm.
Your knife is where you really spend the money.
Well, we haven't even got to the pocket knife. I mean, we haven't got to the flashlight or the medical yet. Because I'm a fan of a very good quality flashlight.
I am too. But, you know,
it's electronic. And in my pocket, electronics seem to go to shit. The good ones don't.
Right.
And, well, you pay for that.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't have to mortgage the house.
It's getting better.
I carry a Streamlight that takes one, CR-123?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I paid $50 for it.
Okay.
And
how bright is it? Because this flashlight is a searchlight.
Yeah, it's probably in the 500 lumen range.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it's plenty light.
Yeah, that's right in the game. Does it have a clip?
Yes.
Do you use the clip?
I do.
Okay.
And one thing, because I've had other Streamlights that the clip would pop off, and I have not had this happen to this one.
What about DNA collection?
It's got a beveled, I mean, it's the bezels.
When you see the scallops on the front end of
yep.
these things, that's what they're for.
Mm-hmm.
They're a persuader.
Yeah.
You can press them into somebody, and it usually makes them go, hey, that stop it. And it changes their focus, and you can persuade them off of you with mm-hmm. it. You go deep enough with it, it will collect skin.
Yep.
And the altercation separates, and you don't know who that was that had just assaulted you. Well, you've got a chunk of them you can give to law enforcement. It's a thing.
Yep.
It was done on purpose. Now, then it's been taken to the complete, total fashion side of things.
Oh, I know.
And some of these things are so sharp, even on the sides, where they kind of cut you when you reach in your pocket to get them.
Yep.
Avoid that. It's going to, you got to be able to sit down and not have it tear your clothing. Right? And again, a high riding clip. You want it in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like seeing things exposed out there. I mean, you don't need a utility belt like Batman.
Have you seen my farm?
I have. But I've also seen you walk around your farm and you don't have a Batman utility belt.
No.
There are guys that combo things together in a sheath, and that's cool. You use a fixed blade knife as your everyday carry. That's cool. However, that prohibits you from going certain places, too. You got to be mindful.
Right.
So, flashlight can be mistaken for that.
Yes.
and you'll have an inadvertent conversation with an overzealous security guy.
Oh, yeah.
Ask me how I know.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens.
Yep.
But the smaller the better, the brighter the better, and the more durable, the rugged you can possibly get.
Yeah. Find one that's aluminum.
Aluminum's a good idea. Agreed.
And one thing I would say, avoid the ones that use the rechargeable batteries.
The ones you plug in?
Yeah. Or at least have one that's a dual fuel, so it can take the rechargeables, but you can put just a regular battery in it. Because there is nothing worse than, oh man, my flashlight's dead. Now it has to charge overnight.
Yep. No, I totally agree with that. I think the recharging technology will get there. Right now, it's not there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's getting there. But if you've got a secondary way to power your equipment, that's the way to go.
And if it does go down and you don't have access to a charger, you can find a way to swap it.
Right.
That's smart.
So from there, if you're being responsible, and this is where you can really kind of get into the gift giving, is your medical. Because, look, if you're carrying a gun every day, you should have some form of medical, even if it's just a tourniquet, right? This is something, don't go on Amazon and get the cheap stuff.
The cheap stuff is cheap for a reason.
It's usually fake.
Or it's knocked off the technology because it looks like it, but your windlass won't actually make enough torque.
Right.
To do any good.
Or it'll break.
Right.
I've seen that.
So, yeah, there's a place you skimp out. Medical's not it.
Nope. Nope. Look for products that are, you know, and I'll shout these guys out. They're not a sponsor or anything, but North American Rescue. Anything trauma-related, that is the go-to. Now, you can get kits from, I use Mountain Man Medical, I use Dark Angel. They're good kits. And most of their components are coming from North American. So
oh, really?
Most of the guys that are producing kits, if they're a high quality kit, they are getting their components from North American Rescue.
Just go direct to the source. I can't cost you that much more.
No, it really doesn't. Now I will say, if you shop around a little bit, Mountain Man, Sunshine, a lot of times they'll have some deals on kits, and you can get into a good, you know, IFAC type kit for $100, $120. And then you can go to, you know, Dark Angel makes an amazing kit, but it's pushing $400.
Yikes.
So
it'd have to be pretty amazing for $400.
Yeah.
Because that's a pistol.
Yeah, I agree. But when somebody's life's on the line...
Well, if it's my life on the line, it's worth it.
Well, exactly. No. Or your kids or your wife. Or...
If it's my wife.
Wow, there was hesitation there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably shop for a deal. But.
Wow.
Well, Atria, you can't help anybody else if you don't help yourself first.
Right. Well, there's that. All right, so we've covered EDC. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll throw this another direction.
If you haven't tried 10th Mountain Whiskey, can you even call yourself a shooter? Okay, Mr. AK guy that only drinks vodka. 10th Mountain has that, too. Still too much? Maybe that cordial would suit your unrefined palate. But for you real pipe hitters out there, the single malt can't be beat. Whiskey is an acquired taste. And if you don't like whiskey, I suggest you acquire some taste. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. It's whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations, using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target, under budget.
All right, so on that note, let's talk about optics for a minute.
Okay.
Because this is where prices just range wild.
What platform?
Well, let's talk about EDC, because I carry an optic on my EDC.
Okay.
Where should be, you know, what are we looking at?
So RMSC kind of world, depending on your pistol platform, slimline the better.
Mm-hmm.
Your battery life is paramount. The one fallacy about shake awake technology is as you move, it's always on.
It's always on, yeah.
Right? Now, a lot of the LED diodes have gotten really good and efficient through the circuitry to be very efficient on battery usage. But you should be prepared to be able to change the battery without unmounting it from the firearm.
Agreed.
And so those categories there now limit you down to a very few select options in the market. Those options are going to live in that $250 to $400 range.
Yep.
Outside that, it's going to be dot size that you prefer, lens clarity that you prefer, and avoid the polymer ones like the plague.
Mm-hmm.
The polymers just aren't there. I know you're going to save a half an ounce maybe, but they're just not there from a durability standpoint. They're not.
Well, and I think as far as pistol optics go, what are we talking? 4 or 5 ounces?
A solid aluminum one in the RMSC is about an ounce.
Yeah, exactly.
With battery.
Exactly. So I don't think weight's a super concern.
It's marketed as one. So just know there's a lot of double speak and, hey, look over here, when you don't need to look that direction.
Well, and I guess here's the question. Is the performance that you gain from a dot worth the price?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a training initiative. When you first start to use a dot on your pistol, you present slightly differently. You're going to execute that shot slightly differently. But the time to act target acquisition and the reliability of on-target hits, your percentage comes way up really fast.
Okay.
And that's what we're talking about in concealed carry.
Right.
You've got to hit your target fast.
And that is the nice thing, especially if you've got one that you make sure it has no parallax. Because that's a critical thing. Because as long as it has no parallax, as long as you see, you know, red or green or whatever color your dot is on the target, that's where the bullet's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Even if you have a less than ideal grip on the pistol.
Right.
If you can see the dot and place it on target, it's going there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your optic has parallax,
yeah,
you could be up to 3 feet off inside 25 yards.
Yeah.
Because parallax, let's make all sure everybody understands, happens in the short distance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very critical in a pistol optic that it doesn't have any.
Right. And to understand it from a pistol optic perspective, think about it as you're looking at a fish in water. That fish is not where you see it.
Correct. And you're looking through a lens. Light likes to distort things. So we do things with geometry and how we grind the lens and the LED angle and how we place it to minimize, if not eliminate, within a reasonable distance. Most pistol optics are going to have parallax in that 3 to 4 foot range. But if you're worried about an inch or two at 3 or 4 feet, we got bigger problems.
So you're saying that as far as pistol optics goes, the juice is worth the squeeze.
It is. Absolutely. Now, there are some boutique optics out there that are going to try and sell you on their military contracts, this, that, the other. Those aren't necessarily worth it.
Right.
Right. You're buying a brand name at that point, and you're stepping into fashion. Will they do the job? Yes. But you're paying twice, if not three times as much, for one that will do the job as well.
Right. So, something to consider. Mm-hmm. All right. So, let's move on to everybody's favorite platform, ARs.
All right.
Because debate rages on today if it's not a Daniel defense, it's not good enough. I can tell you right now, I don't think I have an AR that's all one manufacturer. I think just about every one of mine is Frankenstein somehow, some way.
I think you have a Luth.
It's actually kind of a Frankenstein
gun,
too.
It is, too, because it's Shaw Barrel.
Yeah. So, in the AR world, there's only two companies on the planet that are making forgings.
Right.
Everybody else is milling them out on a CNC to mil spec.
And putting their name on a
which side. Means the PSA lower is exactly the same as the Daniel Defense lower.
Right.
If it came from a forging.
Right.
Where the differences happen and the tolerance happens is when you go to billet.
Okay.
Now, that's where you see your price jump from $40 for a strip lower to $200 for a strip lower.
Right.
Because the billets typically are indexed and matched to an upper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your tolerances come together for a precision shot. Now, it's not necessarily the best solution depending on how you carry it. If you're running in the sandbox and you need a little sloppier tolerance because you got to get the grit and grime out of it for it to function, forgings are great.
Yep.
Right? If you're shooting national match type stuff, you want that matched receiver so the tolerance is tight and there's no wiggle.
Right.
Because the accuracy's there then.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And make no mistake, the magic in an AR is going to be the bolt carrier group and or, at the same time, the barrel.
Yeah.
Right? Everything else is fairly superfluous. A good trigger's nice to have, but outside that, we're talking about fashion and creature comfort.
You are. Now, I would say a good trigger. Get rid of that mil-spec trigger.
They function just fine until you can afford a good drop-in that's got that 2 to 3 pound crisp pull.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of two-stage triggers.
I don't like them.
I want a trigger that's going to be crisp and go to work.
Yep. And I've actually been impressed. You know, and PSA gets hate, but you know what? They have a 3.5 pound match trigger.
3.5 pound.
$85.
It's a flat shoe or a curved shoe now.
Yeah.
And it's a drop-in.
And
it's a great trigger.
I love them.
I've had them in several ARs. I've probably got one that's got 10,000 rounds through it.
Right.
And the trigger has been phenomenal. Never had a glitch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely, that's an area you don't have to spend the $300 and
$400 on. No, and I'll tell you what, right now, just looking across the market, ARs are not moving.
They're not.
So you can get a pretty nice rig right now for pretty inexpensive. I mean, you're sub $1,000 for really nice guns.
Well, there was an ad came out in Ammo Land. PSA is running a full rifle for $375. Now, you're not getting the best barrel there, and you're getting a standard bolt carrier group.
Right.
But another $200, you can change that bolt carrier group to just an absolute maniac of a bolt carrier group, right? And for another $300, you can get a stunning barrel.
Mm-hmm.
You're still sub $1,000, and now you've got something that will go head to head with any of the bougie ARs.
Right. And I do. I think you're absolutely right. It's the barrel and the bolt carrier group. Mm-hmm. That's the heart. I prefer the nickel boron bolt carriers. I think they clean easier. I think they just run better. And I think they're a little stiffer.
They are hardened on the outside surface as part of that coating's performance. Kryptek, shout out to those guys because they have a bolt carrier group that has been named the Class Saver.
Yes.
When you have a guy that has an AR that's gone down, you can swap that bolt carrier group, and 9 times out of 10, that AR comes back to life.
Right. And usually your bolt carrier group, it's grit and grime.
Correct.
And all you got to do is take it apart, clean it, lube it, and you're good to go again.
Well, it's that nasty trade-off, right? Because everything's better with lube, especially in AR.
Yep.
Run them wet.
Yep.
Right? Well, that means you're attracting grit and grime with every motion. So, it is a balancing act. I clean my ARs 2,500 to 3,000 rounds. My direct impingements.
Mm-hmm.
My piston ARs, I've gotten 25,000 rounds at them before they had a stoppage.
Right.
So, it's 15,000, 10,000 rounds cleaning on those.
Yep.
Because none of that grit grime gets put to the gas system into the receiver.
And I was just going to say that, especially if you're going to run a suppressor. a adjustable gas block is worth the money.
A high-flow suppressor in that environment is worth the money.
Yes.
Because the high back pressures is where you get all your problems when running a suppressor on an AR.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the suppressors until the last couple of years have been back pressure suppressors.
Yep. So, something to consider. You know, as far as furniture goes, I mean, you can go, again, super bougie, but what are you really getting out of it?
Not a lot. There's a lot of fashion out there. It's got to be comfortable. It's got to adjust to you and your circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have enough modularity to attach the things that you need or want and place them where you want them, where you can get to them.
Right.
Key mod has gone the way of the dodo bird. Avoid it like the plague. You can't hardly find key mod accessories
anymore.
You
can't.
Now, they were great when you could find them. They were fine. Nothing wrong with them at all. And they allowed for easy on and off.
Mm-hmm.
M-Lock is a little bit more of a hassle to go on and off with, but it's plenty just fine. And that's where everything has gone from the accessory world from an attachment standpoint.
Well, and I've had issues with the key mod of things wiggling off.
Oh, sure.
Because your screw loosens just enough, and now that flashlight just fell off your rail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with you. Avoid key mod if you can.
Yep. It's outdated tech.
Yeah. You know, but, I mean, you can go super crazy, but there's no need to.
No.
Now, where I would say spend the money, you know, we talked about optics, and you don't have to get super crazy, but make sure your attachment to the rifle is rock solid.
It's critical. It's absolutely critical.
Spend your money on the rings for sure.
Yep. One-piece base typically is a really good solution for an AR. They come in the right height.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lower third co-witness where it puts the optic at that 1.75 over the top of the rail.
Right.
That puts your head in the right position to run it with peripheral vision, so your situational awareness is up and running.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on your circumstance, if you were going to be working inside a house, red dots are great. Iron sights are great. If you're going to have a mixed scenario where you have to work either inside a house or then go to a place that has some distance, an LVPO is a good option.
I agree.
A prismatic is a good option. A little bit of magnification brings the confidence of breaking that shot up quite a bit. With an LVPO, you have choices.
Mm-hmm.
Where in a prismatic, you're usually fixed.
Yep.
Right? In a red dot situation, you're going to get to a point where it's a little far out. The red dot just doesn't cut it if you want a precise shot.
You can always solve that with a magnifier.
You can. But now you got two pieces of kit.
Right.
Right? And the more stuff you put on in modularity, the more fiddle factor there becomes.
Yep.
I like a simple system that gives me choices that I don't have to fiddle with much.
Right. Well, and I've always been, you know, because they have the extended bolt release and the extended mag release and all these things. And I usually, like, no. I want my rifle pretty clean.
I've run my carbine underneath some stressful situations, and I've had both. While the enhanced mag release is nice, it's not necessary. The bolt release, barely ever use it.
Yeah.
I do like a enhanced charge handle.
Yes, especially ambi.
And today, in the world of ARs, I run a Bilson because my hands are already on my charging. I don't have to reposition. So everything's right there. Pump action charging runs just like an AR after you get it run and charged. But if I need to clear a malfunction, my hand is already there. I just go to work.
Right.
It simplifies and speeds things up substantially.
Right.
So that's another piece you ought to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody has to charge the AR. Everybody has to clear a malfunction. And you have to deal with the mag change. And having your hands not have to come off the gun to do all that is magic.
Now, I would say spend the money and get an ambidextrous safety. And the reason I say that is we don't have a weak side.
No. I think you're absolutely right. The also have a 45-degree throw on these now. They're shortened up, and they function great.
Yep. Yep, I totally agree. So those are, I mean, that's really the enhancements I would make. And I think those types of things are worth the money. And you know, like, you know, your 45-degree throw on your safety, $20.
Yeah, the difference is not much. And weapons light, mm-hmm. right? So you have the versatility to work through a dark scenario, mm-hmm. right? This is not a searchlight. This is a task light. So your lumens on this needs to come down. Let's right. put the ego aside. You don't need to weld with the damn thing. 300 or less is fine mm-hmm. on a weapons light because you are dealing with bounce back off of walls, potentially mirrors or glass in a door. You get blinded, you're a victim.
Right. Now, and I agree with you here. Like, okay, you need a weapons light on your carbine. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need one on your pistol.
I would agree with that.
I've seen too much where now all of a sudden your pistol becomes your flashlight.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, pointing the gun at something you just want to look at, that's not a good idea.
I've seen it in law enforcement when they started putting weapon lights on their pistols, and now the cop's out there looking at a driver's license with his gun.
Yeah, no. He has another tool for that.
I've seen it.
But that's just lazy. He has a flashlight on his tool belt.
Right.
I mean, Batman, goddammit. So, no.
So, I mean, a lot of this stuff, and especially now, and I mean, I hate to say it because the firearms industry is suffering. You can get a little more bougie right now for the same price that you could, you know, buy bargain basement 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
But you don't have to.
Companies are hungry.
So, if you're looking to save some money, I mean, you can definitely do it. Basic AR, basic handgun. Go from there. Where you want to spend the money is the comfort things, the holster. Lights are important. Medical, don't skimp on that. But a lot of this stuff is plenty good enough.
It'll all save your life one way or another.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, just consider your usage for the most part. Because if it's something you're going to use every day, buy once, cry once.
I tend to agree with that on the standpoint.
But if it's something that you're not going to use all that much, the AR, unless you're out full-time training, you probably don't need the bougie.
They're nice.
They're really nice.
But you don't need it.
No.
If it's wants versus needs.
Right. Well, and if you're going to go to one training class a year, and you're maybe going to put, let's say, 800 rounds through that gun in a year, I'd skip the Daniel Defense. I would go to the PSA.
It'll serve you just fine.
But if you're going to be out there competing and you're going to be throwing 20,000 rounds through it a year, you're probably going to want to upgrade.
And you'll find out quickly because it'll stop.
So, you know, save the money where you can. Spend it on ammo and training.
Probably equal amounts, ammo and training.
Mm-hmm.
Ammo's great. Can't do a thing without it. But you don't know what you're doing without training.
Right. So, on that note, I guess, what are we going to blame? Because I can't blame anything.
Pocket knife.
I blame a pocket knife. All right.